In the name of God, the source of all being, incarnate Word and Holy Spirit. Pat asked me this week where David and Forbes were going to be this morning. I said I did not know, but I do know why they are not here. They did not want to preach on this extremely troublesome gospel that I would prefer would not be read. But it is our way to read everything, troublesome and easy. And in part, we do that because we believe we have been given minds to think critically about these things. And we know that marriage does not function socially, culturally, religiously, as it did in Jesus' day. Women are not considered the possession of men, first the father and then the boy to whom the father gives his daughter. Women are independent individuals, we believe. Have you ever woken from your sleep angry? I woke up yesterday morning about 3:10 a.m. and I was angry, because I had completed about half of a homily based on this morning's gospel. The work was unusually frustrating, in part because I believe, as I said, that the first section of that gospel that we just read, Mark 10:2 through 9, might best not be read on a Sunday morning in the context of the Eucharist. And knowing that if it is read, it has to be commented on, because of its confusing and seemingly absolute nature about marriage and divorce. They are words that we do not believe and do not practice, regardless of how holy we consider the vows and blessing of marriage, and how holy the words of the Bible that I read from every morning. The proper place to talk about that reading is not Sunday morning homily, but in a Bible study. But I will simply remind us of who we are. We are Episcopalians, and what we believe is that the authority of the teachings of the church do not arise from the Bible alone. They are grounded in scripture, tradition, and experience or reason. We think critically about what we read because our minds are divine gifts, and we apply that critical thought to how we live. I will use a big word, dialectic. Our reading, our thinking, our living constantly interact with one another, constantly altering each other in a dialectic of the sacred, forming a tradition that moves constantly. Do you believe in an afterlife of some sort? Yesterday morning I fell back asleep and awoke this time from a dream at about 4:20. In the dream was a woman. I know her name to be Karen. She gave me a gift of two small boxes that were colorfully wrapped and tied with ribbons. The ribbons had attached a name tag with the letters RIP on them. RIP was not the angel of death, but Karen's husband, my friend Richard, who in fact had died now about 2 years ago. May he rest in peace. Richard had been my professor of New Testament in seminary and remained a friend throughout his life. The gift of the two boxes came down from Richard, again, now deceased, for a bit over 2 years. The boxes each contained two letters. L-U-C-K. L-U-C-K. Luck. He gave me a word. He had given me, over the course of the years, many words. He was generous with his gift of words. But he gave me one word, luck. I suppose I am something of an infidel and a heretic worthy of being drawn and quartered for using the word positively in a homily. But I will say it again, luck. It has been over 20 years since I sat in the office of the Right Reverend Henry Lautet, Bishop of the Diocese of Georgia, may he too rest in peace, seeking permission to serve in his diocese. Though I was granted the permission, I turned down the offer. But in the course of our conversation, I said, Bishop, I have been lucky. That's the word I used. I have been lucky to have a wife and two children who love me. The bishop corrected me. Albert, you are not lucky. You are graced, he said. Not lucky. I did not end the rhetorical battle by saying what I believed. I am lucky to have been so graced. And I am grateful for that grace and that luck. That all such relationships are not so constructed, grounded in love, do not develop and nurture support, forgiveness, completeness, but can become degrading, limiting, dehumanizing, unloving is often the human experience. And through the filter of love, we may end those relationships. Whatever providence is, I do not believe it was God's providence that introduced Pat to me, a young co-ed at Colorado State University some 50 years ago. I don't believe it was providence that introduced Pat to me, or me to Pat, a young employee of St. Joseph's Hospital in Denver, Colorado. I do not believe it was intended to happen in some divine purpose. Pat was not chosen by God to be married to me, and I was not chosen by God to be married to Pat. I believe, luckily, Pat, who grew up in L.A., met Albert, who grew up out of New York City, met in Denver, Colorado. Marriage happened almost 50 years ago, and providentially, we found God in this relationship and through it. It is sacramental in that the relationship mediates God through what God is, love. But it is love that binds, not law, not prohibition. The love can be challenging, even difficult, but we are bound in love, which is free and sets free. Don't you love those opening words from the anonymously written epistle to the Hebrews that we just heard read to us? Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful words. How dignifying, how uplifting. We look at everything through the filter of Jesus, the Son of God, who receives us as we are, broken and cracked, married and divorced, fat and skinny, liberal and conservative, Jesus, through whom all things are redeemed. He inherited all things and raised all things up to God. Yesterday morning, when I woke up a second time, having brewed the coffee, I did what I do virtually every morning. I went outside to sit. The birds, they sang at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Yea, the wars, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be caught again, bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.